I'm here at Hoddesdon with Mrs. Sis Ward, who started work at the powder mills in the early 40s, wasn't it?
1940, yeah.
Yes. And she now lives at Hoddesdon, and she'll continue the story in her own words. Now, was that your first job at the powder mills?
My first job at the powder mills, yes.
But it wasn't your first job since you left school.
Oh, no.
Where did you work?
I worked for Brenton's at High Beach.
What sort of job was that?
Oh, in service.
Oh, yes. Then what? Then.
And for Lord Ashton at Brentwood.
Mm. Then what was the last job you had before you started the powder mills?
High Beach.
High Beach.
Brenton, High Beach.
Oh, yes. Right, so you joined RGPF what year?
1940.
And, what job did you do there? Tell us a bit about the work you did.
Processing cordite. And then it transferred over to the north side, isn't it? I transferred over to the south side, packing cordite.
What's that, packing?
Well, walking around and taking a handful of cordite out of each box and blending.
What, in the building was this?
This was in the building. There was about 14 boxes round in a stand, and we all walked round, taking a handful out of each and putting it into a box at the end, weighing it on the scales and screwing it down and throwing out about seven high, about 70 pounds worth of cordite in each box.
And who did you have to lift all this stuff? 70 pounds seems
quite
a weight. Well,
we all took it in turns. There was two of us on the scales, one man and a woman, woman that was strong enough to do all this work, and I was one of them.
Did you suffer from headaches and things?
Oh, terrible headaches, yes. It was, really terrible.
And was there any sympathy for this shown?
Oh, yes. They had a proper hospital there that you could go and rest in for a while if you got too bad. But you really did get very bad headaches.
What sort of hours did you do?
6 till 2 in the morning and 2 till 10 at night. And 10 to 6 in the morning.
Oh, so you did shift work?
Yeah,
three shifts. Yeah. Same work, same duties in each shift?
Yeah, same.
In blending?
Well, blending, yes. Oh, yeah. That was our job. And unloading the trucks off the trolleys, the trays off the trolleys, rather. Because there again, they had to be stacked up very high. You carried three trays at a time and got lots of splinters in your hands. And
Did you get around the factory? Did you see much what was going on?
No. Yeah. We just worked in number 5.
So you didn't really have a chance to see much of the rest of the work?
Well, we just saw the stoves where the cordite was baked.
Oh, you went in those?
Never went in, no. And see the barges that come up with all the water light with all this.
Were they towed by horses? The barges, I suppose they were.
No,
brought.
The men.
Oh, well, you're
punted. Men down the punted along, yes. As I say, they punted along to these stages and then put onto the trucks and brought to the blending houses.
They'd be the old barrel topped barges, would it be the exposure
right,
barges?
Yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And where would that be near? Would that be near the Highbridge Street?
No, that was Sewerston Road.
Oh, it's on the south side, yes, of course you told me, yes. Could you see the Sewerston Road? Whereabouts would you be?
Yes, we could see it. We'd also see the Royal Gunpowder.
Wasn't that called the ICI section once?
Yes, it was.
Why was that?
I don't know.
Was it?
Well, there was ICI section there because my sister worked in the ICI.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what the difference of the job was. I used to come around and making sure there was no air bubbles in the cordite. See that it was all first class stuff, you know.
Oh, yes. There was a other industries connected, like Nobel's, I think, was inside the. But that would in the Abbey itself, but that wouldn't Waltham Abbey itself.
That was Waltham Abbey itself. I don't think
that
was.
I don't think that was then. Can you tell us something about Well, you know, the characters, the foreman
The foreman.
And any stories that might be,
The foreman was Charlie Bailey and Len Heath, and they used to come round and see that everything was in order. And we used to do rush and get our work done, and when we come back from our tea break, we always had to sleep on the trays, which was much against the regulations.
Most people did, yeah.
Yeah, most people did, and we always kept a lookout on the outside in the cubby hole where we used to change our shoes. And this particular night, the lookout went to sleep, and the safety building officer came in and called us all asleep on the trays, which was a crime in those days. At any rate, it ended up in a court martial, and of course
it was treated on an army basis.
Treated on an army basis, and because our poor Charles Hand, he was absolutely.
This is Charlie Bailey.
Our Charles Hand's name was Ernie Nelson.
Oh, yes.
And of course, it meant trouble for him if we let him down. So we all stuck together, and while we wasn't asleep, we was just looking at the trains. And so the poor danger building man got in severe trouble over it. And we all.
Well, for a false accusation?
Yes, false accusation. Which was terrible of us, really, but we didn't think so at the time.
No, well, it was us all there.
And of course, we all wanted to stand by our Charles Hand.
What happened during an air raid? Did you have any air raids?
Oh, yes. We used to have to down tools and go into the dugouts. But luckily,
what sort of warning would you get? Would it be a whistle bell or?
No, a real siren warning. Oh, yeah. There was inside then. We all used to rush into the take off our clean shoes because we had clean shoes and get into our dirty shoes. We weren't allowed outside in the same shoes as we worked in. And rush to the shelters. As luck would have it, nothing really happened.
On the subject of clean shoes on a dirty surface, I recall I worked in the lab. My name's Ron Treadgold. I worked in the lab during this period, and I remember one occasion in which one of our chaps, who was a little bit out of touch with the regulations, went into a CE building, which is full of dust, and was seen coming down the long walk, still wearing danger building shoes, which had felt bottoms impregnated with danger, with CE. And leaving great white footprints all the way down the long walk, which this incident was hurriedly covered up by our own foreman, and no more was said about it. Sorry, I interrupted. Let's go on with your story. Did you have any actual, bombs dropped on
that? No, there were some incendiary bombs that burnt some of the...
What happened to
them? We had some incendiary bombs that burnt some of the gun cotton that was on at the gate edge, but there was no really bombs inside the.
Well, lucky to land on some gun cotton.
Yes, yes.
At High Beach, you said.
I was up at High Beach at this particular time, and all these incendiary bombs were all the way down to Waltham Abbey, and it was just like fairyland.
Oh, they're all burning on the ground.
All burning on the ground everywhere, people's houses and roofs, and it was really a bad night.
And, so, and this is the time some landed in the factory.
The factory, yes, burnt some of the gun cotton, but there was no explosions through it, so we were lucky, really.
How long were you actually working at Waltham Abbey? Where did you go? Because I believe the factory closed, didn't
it? Yes, it closed. I worked there for 3 years, and from there I was transferred to a tracer bullet factory in Hayes in Middlesex. We all...
Was this the EMI place?
I can't remember.
What was it? It was a tracer bullet factory. Tell us something about the canteen. I presume you used the canteen.
Yes, we used to have to walk about a half a mile to the canteen. We had about 20 minutes to eat our meal.
Was that the canteen near Guncotton?
Yeah, it was right down near the gate. And there was a canteen, the hospital, the restroom, the machine room where you had all your clothes made to fit, which is a joke. But you know.
Oh, they made the clothes in the factory?
No, in the alterations. We used to have to wear mop caps and these great big thick woolen dresses, navy blue. And wasn't allowed any grips in our hair or any pins of any sort.
Oh.
All we was allowed to wear was our wedding ring. But you know, they searched.
Which is probably the most dangerous thing you could be wearing, really. Yeah, but they found they couldn't just bring themselves to stop that.
There's no smoking was allowed inside, not even in the canteen. And when
you went, I think if you were caught with cigarettes, it was all or matches even. It was a severe penalty.
If you was ever taken ill in the blending house, you was never allowed to walk up to the restroom or the hospital on your own. There was always three of you had to go up, so two could come back. You was never allowed to walk in the grounds on your own. And
well, just to make sure you didn't wander off into contraband areas.
That's right, or hadn't had any affairs what with any men.
Oh yes, that's
which
another
was
story.
A joke, really, because the poor devil that was. It was all, you know, well, mostly all of them getting on in years.
Yeah, they tend to be quite elderly people
that
work there.
Couldn't either.
Really. Well, the younger fellas would be called up, I suppose.
Yes, and those that weren't called up were men that had a disability that they couldn't go into army.
Tell us, what sort of food did you get in the canteen, was it?
Oh, very good food, yes. The only thing is once somebody had a fruit pie, and when they opened it up, there was a mouse in it.
Oh, yes.
Had your odd little occasions.
Since then.
Yeah, and quite a few mice dirts and things like that found in his food. But I never used to eat in the canteen until it was really. I used to take sandwiches and just have a cup of tea.
How long do you have for lunch?
About half an hour for lunchtime.
Yes.
20 minutes to half an hour. Not long, no. It's very... Because it used to take you 20 minutes to walk from the number 5 right through to the gate, you know.
Did it? Yes.
Yeah. And because you had to walk along the...
That wouldn't be included in your break, would it?
No. So, I mean, you was away from the building for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
You had to walk along all the tracks.
Railway tracks.
Railway tracks, because it was all laid down for the trolleys, you know.
Well, sometimes that was the only dry bit of ground, wasn't it? It tended to get a bit flooded.
That's right.
Can you remember what your average wage was and per hours?
I have no idea.
I can't
remember. Must have been about 6 or 7 pounds a week, I should think.
I doubt if it was as much as that. No. Oh, well, never mind.
I can't remember. Mm. We certainly didn't get the wages that you did.
Well, when I left Waltham Abbey as an assistant, I recall that my wages were about £3 a week.
Mm.
And I suppose being in the laboratories and that, we might be a bit better paid than you.
Yeah, definitely. So it must have been about £2.50, I should think, something like that. Mm. A little bit extra, as I say.
And that was for... how many hours? That was for shift work.
Yeah, for 8 hours.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Eight, 6 to 4. That's a 48-hour week then.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems to about. Any you haven't any other comments about the place? Because you didn't have a chance to get around. No more, really, than we did in the lab.
No, you were very restricted to your own buildings. You know, you wasn't allowed to go into other buildings.
Oh, yeah. Did you have any problems with the men, you know? Did they resent you? Because it was a wartime entry, wasn't it?
We made our own fun in that, There was always the charge hand and two other men in the building.
Yeah.
And there was always some funny little things going on, you know, fun.
Did you get any passes?
Well, not really. There was none of them.
The clothing wasn't really designed to make the girls particularly attractive, was it?
I don't think anybody in there that
In fact, it was difficult to tell whether it was male or female in that outfit.
The majority of girls had got their own boyfriends in the forces and things like that. And as I say, you couldn't walk with men. You wasn't allowed to walk with men.
No.
You know, when you went up to get your meal, the charge hand walked in front with his three men behind him. And then there was the women and the overseer, the lady overseer, walked behind you. So he was all walking
walked in a file.
In a file, yeah.
Oh,
and, you know, as I say, you just didn't have a chance to have an affair with anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very restricted in every sense of it.
Did night work present any more difficulties?
Only it's tiredness, you know. Yeah, and,
did you find it difficult to did you do a week about with this shift?
Oh yeah, you did from 6 but, in the morning till 2 o'clock one week, 2 to 10 the next week, and then 10 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning.
That must have been very wearing because your body just couldn't get accustomed to
daily
routine.
You just went on and on like that, you see, you never got really routine.
It'd be better if it had been sort of 6 months about, something like that.
And the smell from the cordite, you know, it really affected you internally as well. Smelly, you know, horrible.
Before we finish, can you describe in a little bit more detail the nature of the actual job you were doing?
Well, the cordite was baked and... The cordite was baked, as I say, in the ovens. And the trays.
These are stoves.
Yeah, stoves, yes. And the stove, and the then it was brought along the river to a landing stage and put on trucks. And then the trucks brought the cordite to the building. And there we unloaded it and just stacked it at quite a height, I'm not sure. And then it was taken off these trays and put into boxes.
And then all around the building, was it?
There was, yes, into 70-pound boxes again, you see. Mm. And then there were trestles, there were 7 down one side, 7 boxes down one side, 7 boxes around the other side. And we all walked round in a circle, 6 of us, all night long.
One behind the other,
yeah, blending this cordite. And then putting into the
walking top, all night, really?
All night long around these wretched boxes, and then packing it into the top box. They called that blending it, and then it was screwed down.
You could do this walking around perhaps for 2 hours at a time.
Oh yes, it was very monotonous, you know.
Yeah, and you would do that continuously all the time. That was your only job?
That was our only job, yeah. Well, barring unloading the trays off the trucks and, as I say, if you went on the scales or anything like that, but apart from that...
Things like unloading or doing something was regarded as a little bit of a perk, I suppose, than doing something different.
And sometimes you loaded the empty trays onto the trucks.
Yes.
When we was finished with the cordite.
The trucks, would they be pushed along to...
all pushed along.
They weren't drawn by locomotives?
No, all pushed. There was nothing
single
mechanical.
Single trucks, one person, one truck.
No, it was about 2 of them used to push these trucks.
How many trucks? One behind the other?
Sometimes there was 2 at a time, sometimes there was 3, sometimes only the one. But there was always 2 pushing them. There's nothing mechanical in there, wasn't allowed anything, were they, mechanical?
No, they did have locomotives, but they wouldn't be used near danger.
No, not near the cordite.
Electric locomotives, I think they were.
Were they?
You were going to mention to me something about an incident of somebody on the scales. What was that all about?
Well, when we was really down at our lowest on night shift, the man off the scales used to come up with a little song, and he used to, there were 6 of us walking around, all young girls, and he used to come up to us and say, "If any young lady here wants a baby, give her the cock of the north." And of course, being young...
Is that any more verses, do you remember?
I don't remember any more of the verses, but it was really...
See that again, that was good.
If any young lady here wants a baby, give her the cock of the knoll. That with his poo-poo.
Well, it's, you know, in those, if we can say, dark days, a little thing like that, everybody would like something to cheer them up.
Oh,
you know,
yes. Be... There's often little ditties, but I can't remember anymore. That one really sticks in my mind, you know.
Oh, well.
As I say, it wasn't all bad in there. We did have a funny time, so I can't remember anymore at the moment.
It was a very, what can I say, cloistered society. You know,
that's
it
right.
It was its own... you were away from everybody else, and
very
you wouldn't
shut
see
up.
Many people. You're very
no,
shut up.
Only sort of danger building men or military that come round to us.
That was
seen.
The only bit of highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
and the RCI girls used to come round and take a test of the cordite to see that it.
Oh, for the sampling.
Yeah, sampling.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see if
did you ever see any people from the lab? I think the lab samples were prepared, weren't they? Because we'd have samples from the
building
houses.
I think the RCI give you those.
Oh, yes.
I think that's what their job was.
They did the sampling
was.
And
yes.
submitted it to the lab for testing. Oh, yes. Oh, well, that's, thank you very much, sis. That's been very interesting. And we'll I think we're closed now.
I wish I could think of some more funny bits attached to it. Because I say there was a funny side to it, really.
You say you weren't allowed to walk on your own. What,
no.
What happened?
Well, if you went anywhere, which I never remember going.
I suppose you wanted to go to the hospital. Or that.
If you went to the hospital, three of you had to go, in case you was kept up there, and so two could walk back. You were never allowed on your own.
Oh
yes. And wherever you went, as I say.
They would escort you to the hospital, then they would
come back
and leave you there.
That's right, yeah. And then when you're better, they'd come back up for you to escort you back. Shocking, I don't know when you think of it. Mm-hmm. There's two girls from Finchley Park that used to come all the way down there and work.
Yeah.
And they were really funny because they're proper cockneys. And they really used to keep us in fits of laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Because their language left a lot to be desired as Londoners do.
Oh, yeah.
But, and you know, being a country girl, I thought it was
disgusting,
but it was really laughable.
They'd come all the way from Finchley Park?
All the way from Finchley Park. And the twins, they came from Thaden Boys. And, three of them, well, there's twins and another one that came from Thaden Boys. And me, of course.
Oh, yeah. That was the staff
that
of the...
That was the six, then.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then there was an overseer.
Yes.
And apart from that, us six.
Did you all see up to the end of the period, you know, till 43?
Yes, we did, really, yeah. But I was transferred with one of the girls to this trace of that, as I say. But a lot of them went to his master's voice.
Oh, yes.
Factory in Hayes. I don't know what they did there.
Did you ever have any in the canteen any Christmas celebrations? Was there anything different at Christmas?
No, I don't. I think they used to have a Christmas dinner, on the thing, but there was never any hilarity or any.
No.
Anything.
Mm. Well, in half an hour, there's not much time to get jolly, is there?
You're not allowed all this singing, and you wasn't supposed to do anything like that.
No singing was. Did you? Did anybody get told? Did you? Any of you sing in the Billingdon House?
We used to try and break the monotony, but if we heard anybody in the boot hole, we used to be quiet.
Because that was. Frowned on, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, singing. Oh, absolutely. There was no noise whatsoever.
When I was listening to you, I realised that working in the laboratory, we were very lucky because we weren't fettered by any of these sort of regulations.
Oh.
Still, that's another story. We were very, very easygoing.
Mm.
But,
no, you were lucky, really, but as I say, we were really kept down.
Right, okay, sis, thank you very much. It's very, very interesting. I'm sure that will be well preserved in the records.